been doing this for a little bit now, and y'all are, can't imagine, you know, served that on Second Peter. Y'all can't imagine I'm going to break away. Oops. Sorry. Anyway, y'all can't imagine that I'm going to break away from that because of something that came about. Wednesday night, when started talking about the Ark of the Covenant, boy, my mind just got to racing to all the different things that that Ark of the Covenant meant and what was in it and what was where it was and when it was made and all those kind of things. And I don't have all the answers yet, but I got some questions I'm going to raise in y'all's mind today, and I've also got some answers to some of the questions that I had when I left here Wednesday night. First off, what was the Ark of the Covenant? What covenant was that the Ark of? So that was the Ark, or from what I can study and find, that was for the covenant that God had with Israel, that He would see them to the Promised Land. And that was the covenant, that Ark led them across the wilderness. It led them across Jordan. It took down the walls at Jericho. And it contained the Ten Commandments, contained a pot of manna, It contained Aaron's rod. So now I'm going to go, that's just a brief overall synopsis of where we're going this morning. Start off with when it was made. According to the book of Exodus, God instructed Moses on Mount Sinai during his 40-day stay up on with the thick cloud and the darkness where God was, and he was shown the pattern. But the first time Moses came down from the mountain, his anger was brought from, he found the children of Israel worshiping the golden calf. And he threw down the first set of stones and broke those. A year later, God said, before that year was up, God had instructed him to build the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ten Commandments were to be read and then placed into the Ark of the Covenant. And that the Ark of the Covenant was made out of Shunammite wood, which is the same wood that the temple would later be made out of, and all of the fixtures within the tabernacle, all of the wood within the tabernacle was made out of that Shunammite wood. But it was a dense wood. Shittim wood, and that was to house the tablets of stone. And at Deuteronomy 10:1, if y'all want to turn there, I'm going to read 1 through 5. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto the mountain, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mountain, having two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables according to the first, writing the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mountain, put the tables in the ark which I had made, and thereby the Lord commanded me. So in the book of Exodus, there's details of the instructions for this ark. It is to be 2.5 cubits in length, 1.5 in breadth, and 1.5 in height, which is roughly 52 inches long by 31 inches wide and 31 inches high. Tried to find something in here that I could kind of give you a close to the height. This table is pretty close to it. This table is probably a little longer than 51 inches. I know it's a little taller than 31 inches, but it's probably 36 inches, which is standard counter height top. But it's a little smaller than that. But that gives you an idea of what the size of it was. And it wasn't huge, but from everything I could read about this wood, this wood is a heavy wood. It's not something that's light, which you would think if they were going to make the tabernacle and they were going to make something they had to carry, then make it out of a light wood, but that wasn't what God commanded. A lot of times I don't think, his yoke is light, but I think a lot of times He shows us that if you have your faith, He will make that yoke light. It's not necessarily that it's an easy thing to do, but He makes it easy to do. And I don't think that the wood would have mattered. I think there was a design in that. There was a reason for that wood. There was something in that wood that we don't know today that made that wood, maybe it was termite resistant or resistant to some of the insects that they had at that time. Of course, God's going to control those insects just as well as He controls everything else. There's to be it was gilded entirely with gold, and a crown or molding of gold is to be put around it. Four rings of gold are to be attached to its corners, two on each side, and through these rings staves of shittim wood overlaid with gold for carrying the ark are to be inserted, and these are not to be removed. Now, this was what brought it up Wednesday night was what's his name? Uzzah was killed because he reached out to touch the ark to steady the ark. And it's thought that he may have actually been the driver. There's several different things. But in some way, he saw the ark as they came across a section of rough road. He saw the ark wobbling and he was afraid it was going to fall and he reached out to touch it. And nobody, not even the Levites, were to touch the ark itself. They were to touch those staves. And they weren't to actually touch the ark itself. In fact, when the ark was carried, and I'm almost going to guarantee that when they put it on that cart, it was covered with a heavy, heavy cloth. 10 layers, I believe, is where I found one place where it talked about 10 layers. Other places I heard it talked about as the covering that was in the tabernacle that had the that divided the Holy of Holies from the tabernacle, that somehow was laid down without ever being able to see the Ark of Covenant laid over the Ark of the Covenant. Somehow that covering was put over the Ark of Covenant, may have been put over by the high priest, but somehow that covering was put over there without all of the Levites being able to see the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant was not to be looked upon. I think the Ark of the Covenant was okay. It was the mercy seat, which was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was another piece of furniture within the tabernacle that had two cherubims on it. Now, I've heard people say, well, the Ark of the Covenant was this big because here's how big the cherubims were. Well, but there was two cherubims on top of the mercy seat, and then there were two cherubims in the Holy of Holies that touched over the Ark of the Covenant. And like I say, I had so many questions in my mind when I left here Wednesday night. What was the significance of that Ark of the Covenant that God said, don't touch it? I don't think that it was a significance of the Ark of the Covenant. I think the significance was God said, don't touch it. And God said, don't look upon it. Now, it may have been that the glory of the Lord was contained within that ark. But I can't find any Bible for that, so I'm not going to say that. But He said, don't look upon it and don't touch it. The only person who could go into the Holy of the Holies was the high priest, and he could only go in there one day in the year. And when he went in, he had to do a cleansing before he went into the Holy of Holies. When he went in, he wore a rope on his robe, around the bottom of his robe that had a bell on it, and if that bell quit ringing, they would pull him out. Now, there's nothing recorded in the Bible where any of them ever fell or were killed in there. But I think there were things, I think if they went in there with impure thoughts, if they went in there with, you know, without the proper preparation, and I don't think it was just that preparation, that cleansing that they did outside the Holy of Holies. I think that there was a daily preparation throughout the year that that high priest had to do to be in the proper frame of mind. Just like we as Christians, our job isn't to come here on Sunday and get our dose of religion and go through the week with that dose of religion. Or maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that we'll get our dose of religion then. We have a daily preparation that we need to go through. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And that's to be a daily preparation for our daily life. And I know that's not directly related to the Ark of the Covenant, but there's relationships between obedience to God, and God gives us commands to prepare ourselves to enter the world daily. Because I promise you, if you don't prepare yourself to enter the world daily, you won't be separate from the world. Because you'll walk out there and you'll walk right in with them. You'll blend right in, and there won't be a way to tell the difference between the two. So let me get back to where I was, and we'll look at Exodus 25:10. And they shall make the ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, with and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt thou make it upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, put them in the 4 corners thereof, and the 2 rings shall be in the one side, and the 2 rings in the other side of it. He's being very specific about how he wants this made. He's not leaving anything to chance. He wants those rings in the corner, not halfway down. He wants them in the corner, and he wants 2 on each side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves in the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. That means when they set it down, you don't pull them out and store them somewhere else. You leave them right there. Why that's important? I couldn't find anything that makes it important other than I think the importance of that was because to put the staves back in, there was a possibility of touching the ark other than just the rings. So he said, leave them in there because I only want you touching those staves. I only want the priests. And it's only the Levites who are supposed to carry this. Lucian and I can't go in there and carry this thing. It's got to be Levites. And they shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wing on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and the ark shall put And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee, and there will I meet thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Of all things I will give thee in the commandments upon the children of Israel. So this, the ark of the covenant and the mercy seat, this is where God communed with the nation of Israel. And if you read through there, you'll find that on the days in the mornings that Moses went out and he looked at the tabernacle, and if the cloud wasn't round about, they moved. If the cloud was round about, that meant God's Spirit was still in the tabernacle, and they didn't move. But that was how he found out that they were going to move. And I'm going to go on through a few things, and we'll see some more here. But the Ark of the Covenant was a mobile vanguard. Joshua passing through the River Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, and they committed the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant," I'm sorry, Joshua 3:3, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." And so this is after Moses has turned over the leadership of them in the desert through to Joshua. And then that was through 7. And if we look at 3:15, this is going to be when they actually cross the River Jordan. And this is something I thought, in my mind, I had always thought that the River Jordan was split and the wind blew 3 days and 3 nights. Don't know where I got that from, but somewhere in my mind that had come through. But that's not how it happened. Not according to this. And I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to read it. Joshua 3:15. "And they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of the harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up unto a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. He placed there where they lodged and laid down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests were, which bare the ark of the covenant, stood, and they were there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan till everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over." So this is Neil's interpretation. They hit the edge of that water and it dried up. And they walked out into the middle and they stopped. And all of the rest of the Israelites bypassed them and went through to the other side. And Joshua was there, stayed there in the middle with them. And when all of them had passed over, he gathered 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Judah, and he put those stones in a pile. And then the Levites and the Ark of the Covenant continued on through Jordan. And so obviously when they hit the middle, God dried the rest of it up over there, and he made it so that they could walk across on dry ground. And then I think there's some symbolism of the two covenants. I think there's some symbolism of the cross. But the important thing is God provided for them, and Joshua thanked God I think that's part of that placing of those 12 stones there. So then another time of the Ark of the Covenant was used was at the Battle of Jericho, and that's Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city and all ye men of war and go around about the city once. Thou shalt do this 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day she shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, then when you hear the sound of the trumpets, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. So, most of us as children heard the story of the walls of Jericho falling down. But I remembered the trumpets, but I didn't remember the Ark of the Covenant being there. And I think there's importance in that. I think that's part of the covenant, that God promising them the land, and part of that land was Jericho. And I think that was part of the completion of that covenant. So now we go into a section here where the Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. And this is kind of, it's a sad time in the life of the Israelis, the Jews there, where I think David misused the Ark of the Covenant. I don't think that God told him to take that Ark of the Covenant out there to the battlefield. I think that they felt that there was so much power. They had taken down the walls of Jericho with it. They had split Jordan with it. Maybe if we take it out here to the battlefield, we'll win. I think they had started worshiping the Ark instead of worshiping God. And I think he said, I'm going to punish y'all for that. And that's where they lost in 1 Samuel 4:1. And I'm going to try to stay out of 2 Samuel, stay out of try to stay out of fire there. I thought you and Lucian were going to steal my thunder this morning when y'all got to talking. And the word of 1 Samuel 4:1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched the Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hands of our enemies. So there shows they had chosen. They weren't saying, let us go bring God's blessings through the Ark. They said, the Ark is going to save us here. So the people went to Shiloh, and they might bring thence the Ark of the Covenant. Anyway, it goes on there, and in 4:10, 1 Samuel 4:10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled, every man into his tent. There was a great slaughter. And then 4:11, and the Ark of God was taken. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain, where it was cared for by Hophni and Phinehas. Now, the Philistines kept it for I thought I had written that down. I can't tell you for certain how long they kept it, but several different times the Philistines, at one point in time, they had 30,000 men that were lost, and then they had child that was died at birth because of being exposed to the Ark, and then several of them had tumors. And after the Ark had been among them for 7 months, there it is, the Philistines, on the advice of their diviners, returned it to the Israelites. accompanying its return with an offering consisting of golden images. We touched on that Wednesday night. The golden images of the tumors and mice wherewith they had been afflicted. So let's give them some gold that looks like what maybe we can appease their god. The ark was set up in the field of Joshua, the Beth Ishmaelite, and offered sacrifices and burnt offerings. Out of curiosity, the men of Beth Ishmaelite gazed at the ark, and as punishment, 70 of them, 50,000 and 70 in some translations, were smitten by the Lord. So they gave Israel back the ark. And that was fine, except the Israelites didn't receive it correctly. They didn't go and pick it up with four Levites like they should have. They went and put it on an ox cart and tried to bring it back. And that's when we go through the Uzzah dying and the days of King David. And then at one point in time, if you look at 1 Chronicles 17:1, David sat about to build a house. He wanted to build a house. Now, David had been denied permission from God to build the temple because of his transgression. I believe it's not because of his transgressions, because of his hands were bloody. He had been a warrior for too many years. And now it came to pass as David sat in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, "Lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains." They still had it covered with the curtains like it was in the tabernacle. Then Nathan said unto David, "Do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee." And it came to pass the same night that the word of the God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I say not dwelt in the house since that day that I brought up to Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Whosoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I the word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me an house of cedars?" I think also there's some other importance here. I think that part of the reason that the Philistines kept the Ark of the Covenant and didn't have the Ark of the Covenant was because of the rebellion of Israel. Because if you remember, they had lived without a king, but they wanted a king as all the other nations had. And I think that God said, "Look, I brought y'all across these deserts with judges. Y'all didn't need a king then. I gave you better than a king. I gave you a prophet. I gave you a judge. I gave you men of humility. But you want a king, so I'm going to give you a king. But I'm going to put terror in your hearts. He did so many things to try to make them realize they really didn't want a king. So the ark was with the army during the siege of Rabbah, and when David fled from Jerusalem at the time of Absalom's conspiracy, the ark was carried along with him until he ordered Zadok the priest to return it to Jerusalem. That's in 2 Samuel 15:24 through 29. Then the ark was carried into the temple from the earliest 15th century. Now, during the construction of Solomon's temple, a special inner room named Kodesh Hakadeshim, English Holy of Holies, was prepared to receive and house the ark. And that's 1 Kings 6:18. "And the cedar of the house was within, carved with knops and open flowers, all was cedar, and there was no stone seen. And the oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in height." Now understand, the rest of the temple was 40 cubits, so the 40 cubits high. So this would be like this, where the height of the ceiling went down. Now, I don't know whether it was up or down. I believe the ceiling was set down. I think it was a level deal from everything I can read. But I can't promise you that. But the height out in the main portion of the tabernacle was 40 cubits, and that Holy of Holies was 20 cubits. It was a perfect square, 20 by 20 by 20. So, and this is where I was talking about the second set of cherubs with the whole house. 1 Kings 6:23, and within the oracle he made two cherubs of olive trees, each 10 cubits high, and 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. From the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other wing were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims were of one measure and one size, and the height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was it of the other cherub. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. So that was... So let's say this was... the 20 cubits, so the one wing touched that wall and came to middle of the room, and then the same with the other, but they touched and they touched. And, you know, you think, well, that's pretty easy. Measure it out and do it. You measure out something of that size and try to do it and come out exactly like that. God had His hand in that. You don't do that without... And I'll almost bet you they were perfectly symmetrical, and you can't do that. You can't do that without the work of God. So now the ark is back and all is well, right? So what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? I can't find anything in the Bible that tells me exactly where that Ark of the Covenant went to. There's some reference in the Maccabees, which the Maccabees are some scrolls that were often, a lot of people consider them part of the Bible, but they weren't put in the what'd you say, Lucian? I can't. Yeah, they weren't put in the canon of scriptures. They didn't meet the criteria for the canon of scriptures. But if they say somewhere between 500 and 600 B.C. that the Babylonians came in and took the Ark of the Covenant, and they took the tabernacle, and they moved them up into the mountains, into a cave, and then they covered over the opening of that cave. There's not enough proof for me to know that for sure, but the Maccabees, most anything that's been in the Maccabees that I've ever followed very close, at some point in time it's proven out. But what I wanted to say is the main reason I don't think that Ark of Covenant is available to us at this time is because we would worship the Ark of the Covenant. Same reason that God said there's no pictures of Christ. I don't believe there's any portraits of Christ. Because He doesn't want us to worship portraits. He doesn't want us to worship graven images. He wants us to have faith and worship Christ. That's why we shouldn't have the Virgin Mary's statues in our yard. First off, she's no longer a virgin, as Lucian brought out. There's no reason for us, and it's not just the Catholics that have these graven images. There's a lot of religions that have graven images, and that kind of thing. So don't think it's just, I'm not picking just on the Catholics, but that was, like I say, I left here Wednesday night with a lot of questions in my mind. And, you know, I've grown up in church, and I know a lot of these facts, but when you start trying to put them all together, sometimes you miss something, and sometimes you add something. Something that you thought was this way, it wasn't that way. Like I thought that the Jordan had split and wind blew and dried that land out. Well, that's not the way it happened according to this. So, I guess we can have a... That's it. We can have a verse of song and...